The question is there any evidence that those missionaries that Calvin trained, did they embrace the sovereignty of God and the teaching of John Calvin in their missionary activity? Absolutely is the answer to that. As an evangelistic tool. Well, now that's, did these missionaries actually use this notion of the sovereignty of God in their evangelism? That's a harder question. We don't have a lot of concrete evidence that tells us exactly what they said in their missionary activity. So I really can't say specifically that there is evidence that shows that the missionaries, that the way they evangelized was by talking about the sovereignty of God. If you ask me my opinion, and that's all I can give because there's simply no evidence that I know of, I wouldn't have much doubt that idea would have been communicated, even in doing evangelism. I mean, after all, that's a wonderful encouragement. To say God is not sovereign would be a great discouragement, because that would mean then that maybe God can't keep his promises. It's only a sovereign God who can keep his promise that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. If he's not sovereign, then maybe he can't keep that promise. And people who believe in Christ, it may be of no use to them. So certainly in terms of the dynamic of this doctrine of the sovereignty of God, I would presume and virtually be positive that it would have been at least a part of their understanding and would have at different points come up. Again, I think the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is indispensable to evangelism. It, frankly, I don't know how you do evangelism without that belief. Because if you don't have it, then you may be wasting your time. Yes, sir. I think one more. I'm sorry. Ah, good question. Dispensationalism didn't... the question was, did Calvin have anything to say about the modern notion of dispensationalism? That's a pretty easy one to answer, because dispensationalism is only... it came into existence in the 1850s. It developed but with John Nelson Darby in Ireland, and John Nelson Darby brought it over in about 1850 to the United States. So the doctrine that we know of as dispensationalism simply didn't exist, historically speaking, in the 16th century. If you were to ask me, would Calvin have embraced some of the distinctive features of dispensationalism? And most of us are aware that one of the distinctive features of dispensationalism is the idea of the rapture. We were talking earlier about the Left Behind books. Everybody's aware of these books, and they, in fact, do, in a literary sort of way, present a dispensationalist kind of a viewpoint with this idea of a rapture, where God sort of takes up people as they're driving their car, or something. It's in the movie, too, by the way. Calvin knew nothing of a sort of a dispensational rapture. Again, that's another idea. As the dispensationalists develop it from the 1850s onward, it simply never existed in history. There's simply no evidence of that. And what I say to my brothers who are dispensationalists and my sisters who are dispensationalists, I have many friends who are, I don't think they can find any historical evidence for those, even a seed of those ideas in history. It really is a recent doctrine. And it comes from the mind, in particular, of John Nelson. Okay. Thank you, folks. Spent a fair amount of time studying him. Let me begin with a kind of confession. For as long as I can remember, I've had a secret agenda. When I taught, when I teach at the Center for Medieval and Renaissance Studies at Oxford, I always have a secret agenda when I teach. When I taught at Villanova University in Philadelphia, I had a secret agenda. When I taught Christian kids at Westmont College in California, I had a secret agenda. And when I teach in Orlando, students there don't know it, but I always have a secret agenda. There's always a point behind the lecture. I always want them to understand something. And that agenda is always pretty much the same.